Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to Monday Morning Recap, everyone. As always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. Don't forget to use that promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. What a weekend, huh? What a weekend. We did the live UFC 282 show Saturday night. Bob was not here. Giorgio, you were at a wedding somewhere.
I was.
Allegedly.
I was at my college roommate's wedding. I basically had to not be here because my bookie just cleaned up on all you guys, didn't they?
No, actually. Delco. No? Delco could be the guy, dude, for UFC.
Because he faded everything, didn't he?
No. He's the guy, dude. He was pretty dead on. I piggybacked off of his bets.
Again, it's UFC, though. A lot of favorites win.
It is, but still... you had some big calls, and I think you won maybe 4 out of 5. Did you lose at all?
I lost because of technicalities. Like, I would say by decision or by knockout.
Yeah.
But I mean, the guys would win, but they wouldn't, you know, win in the distance.
We had a banger of a Saturday here. Well, I did as well.
I was in the chat. I tuned in and watched.
Yeah, but Caleb Williams ended up winning the Heisman. That was our preseason show. It was my preseason pick. On the show on July 24th.
Was he the favorite to win?
He was not. He was...
By the time it went to the... This past week, he was like minus 2,500. Yeah,
yeah. This weekend, it was. But when we bet, he was 8th on that list.
Okay.
Two of the guys in the top 5 didn't even play all year. Jackson Smith and Jigma. Travion Henderson didn't even play. So that was a fun one. Won that. Won the Army-Navy game by kicking that teaser in. Kick that under up, dog.
Who took that under here?
It's the only save. Like, I mean, I did that too, but I also took just the under straight up.
Yeah.
And
you got boned.
It's 10-7.
You got boned.
As soon as they kicked the field goal with like 2 minutes left, I'm like, God damn it. It's going to overtime.
But even when you saw it, you probably thought, all right, unless this goes into double overtime, I'm fine.
No. First play of overtime, Army touchdown.
Yep.
Navy gets the ball, touchdown.
First play. First play for Navy as well.
It was like watching a child's game. I don't know how this happened.
That's just Army Navy for you.
It is.
As soon as they went to, like, they kicked that field goal, I'm like, we're boned.
Yeah, it was a fun game. So I ended up winning that on both ways. All of our bets are, by the way, are posted on Facebook on Drinking Bros Sports. Free to join. Just don't be an asshole. It is a private group. That way you can see all these bets. And then we capped it off with UFC, but you weren't here. So I leaned on his picks and he was on fire.
Also, what happened with Tom Brady?
Well, hang on. Before we get to Brady, let's talk about this UFC fight because Patty the Batty, first of all, lost that fight.
Oh, for sure.
Badly.
I don't think he won any of the rounds, to be honest. Maybe one of them.
I don't. I mean, that would be generous.
Maybe the second.
Maybe. But what I thought was interesting was... D'Anthony and Delco and I bitched about this on the show, and then I watched some of the footage from a camera phone afterwards. Two different angles. One was on Joe Rogan. That's been circulating. It's gone viral. Joe Rogan was even in the background after they announced the winner. He goes, oh, boy. And you can see him audibly pissed off about it, but then he switched into pro mode and went and interviewed him, obviously. So he knew. But there was another video that's circulating of Dana White talking to Dave Portnoy, who is obviously backed, Patty is backed by those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like he said, I knew it or I told you so. And it was seconds before they announced who was going to win the fight. Did you see that video?
Yeah. I don't know if I saw I told you so. I didn't read his lips, but I just saw his reaction.
It was strange, wasn't it?
I guess. I don't know. That's just what's going to happen when it goes to the scorecards. Cash Cow's going to continue on, like Sugar Sean against Pierre Jan.
Yep. So let me ask the two of you guys this. Is that new for the UFC? Is this what's going to continue to happen because of the shortage of stars?
So those are two completely different situations. I went back and watched the Sean O'Malley Piotr Fon fight again. And, you know, I always like to give points on the cards to takedowns. Sean really tooled him up a little bit, and I can see how Sean won that decision.
That was more justifiable.
This was just highway robbery, mm-hmm. to the point of, like, Paddy didn't look good. And I think in the post-fight presser, Dana said that Gordon had to do more. And I'm just like, Paddy had to do more. And I understand, like, there's been bad reffing or bad judging in the UFC for a long time. And that's been brought up. Never has it been so blatantly towards someone they're trying to build.
Right.
Yeah.
Even though it's supposed to be independent, the judges really have no connection to the UFC. It's its own
thing. They're boxing judges. They like the whole organization. Like they're not UFC staff. Like they're completely separate. It's not like they're in the inner workings of the company.
Judges.
Yeah. Okay. It's they work for the state athletic commission. This is weird though. Like normally it's for fights that don't matter and don't count or just completely random. This feels so forced in a way. And maybe it's just perfect storm and we're looking for correlation somewhere. Maybe Paddy just like got the little rub of the green. What this does say is though, this ends the hype train. This man doesn't compete in the top 15 at 155.
It's actually the best thing that ever happened to him because he's going to get the dub. He's not going to take the L on his record. And they're not going to push him as fast as they were going to. Like, if he won this fight pretty convincingly, mm-hmm. he was going to fight much better competition, and he was going to get exposed. Now he's probably going to fight backwards. He's going to have some, you know, fights where he's just going to beat up tomato cans. And
can he go from a co-main event to, like, a
yeah, because it doesn't matter. Prelim? I mean, did you really know or care about Jared Gordon before this?
Not at all.
No. I didn't even know who he was.
I did care about the Chris Curtis Joaquin Buckley fight, which did not go the way I thought it would.
But see, nobody knows who they are, right? So take a casual fan like myself or Holloway. We tuned in for Paddy. That was a horrific.
You know who Joaquin Buckley is. He's the guy who he kicked someone, got the kick caught, and then he kicked him in the face in the air. He spun in the air and kicked him like a ninja.
Yeah, they don't know him by name.
He was also
a very recent member of the Joe Rogan podcast.
Okay.
He's a guest on there. So I feel like as an individual, he's starting to get some rub and some notoriety.
Yeah, but he's always on the prelims. He's never on the main card.
Never on the main card. And, you know, as I watched it, because I had the comments literally on the show before the fight started, I said, if this goes to the scorecards, I asked you the question. I go, if this goes to the scorecards and it's even remotely close, they give it to Paddy, right? Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what they did.
This is a really bad look coming off a fucking gambling scandal, which is not even over yet. And then they pull this bullshit in two fights, by the way, because the last fight of the night, the dude, it was a split draw, right? Mm-hmm. So three different results from three different judges.
That was more justifiable, too, I think.
Oh, man. I don't know, because one of the fighters involved during the other guy's interview was like, hey, you definitely won that fight. And everybody else was saying it. I'm sure everybody in every room in America that was watching the goddamn fight was saying the same thing. Mm-hmm. And then to have the fighter who we all thought lost come up and say, yeah, I lost, that's a bad look for UFC.
And also, isn't this what basically killed boxing?
Yes.
Corruption and shitty judgments?
Yep.
Like, it literally, sure this is what, and it's the same judges that killed boxing from the Nevada Gaming Commission or whatever the fuck.
Same the same judges who judged boxing.
Right.
These are boxing judges.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're just making the exact same mistakes boxing made.
Yeah, but Jan wins that fight if it was the original three rounds it was scheduled to be, because he won probably, you could argue, he won the first three rounds.
No.
Or the first two.
Yeah, no, he won the first two.
Yeah.
Maybe won the first three.
I don't think he won the third at all.
Well, the way I saw it was you can justify the draw because it was first three to Jan, last two to Ankalaev, and Ankalaev 10-8'd the fifth round.
And the really stupid thing about this, so UFC updated its rankings today. Ankalaev and Blachowicz both went down one, and Blachowicz is still one ahead in the division. What the fuck?
Well, this is the first time that a fight has been announced on the way to the press conference.
It's pretty funny.
With two guys and, who weren't fighting that. I mean, it was nuts.
The best clip from the whole weekend was when they found the news out live. Anthony Smith, who was scheduled to fight Jamal Hill.
Yeah.
They already had the fight planned. I think contract signed and everything. Yeah. Him finding out live that his fight was taken from him, and he's just like, I guess I'm not fighting Jamal
Anthony
anymore.
Smith is also an announcer for the UFC. Yes. So he's like, I'm a company man. I've been here this whole time. And then like, I get a sweet fight against Jamal Hill, which I think Anthony Smith honestly wins handily.
Jamal Hill's
in no universe should Jamal Hill be fighting for a title.
He should, what? Yeah. What are you?
Dan,
why,
what are you talking?
Why
about?
Do you hate Jamal Hill?
I do
Jamal
not
Hill's
hate Jamal
excited
Hill.
Excited as hell. He's fun. That's why they put him in the title fight, and he's like legit too. He's really well rounded and good.
He is a well rounded.
We saw him
fighter.
Get he... Paul. We saw Paul Craig break his arm because he made one bad decision, and he got into the one thing that Paul Craig can do in a triangle choke, and he snapped his arm. We saw it live. It was a few years ago, and you have never looked at Jamal Hill the same.
I think these rankings are fucking complete nonsense, right? You can't base anything on UFC rankings at all, or the win-loss record or any of that shit. I mean, look at that Usman fight. He dominated that fight against Leon Edwards until the last, 30 seconds, and he just got caught with a right, and all
gotta
of a sudden,
yep.
That's how, I mean, look, that's how it works.
That's part of the fight.
But when there's that much fucking, when there's that large of a possibility that the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world can get randomly caught once, and that's it, why are we putting so much into the rankings or the record? It doesn't make any sense.
But this goes back to Jamal Hill's 10, so he's getting a title fight.
This is right, but this goes back to what Bob was saying. It's the same with boxing rankings.
Well, he's up to 7 now, actually.
Is UFC becoming boxing? I mean, it's the same thing. It's almost identical.
It's never been like that in boxing. The win-loss record, there are a couple of guys, like Lennox Lewis didn't lose again after he lost some early in his career, and he never lost again after that. There have been a couple of guys, but boxing, you could lose and fucking come back and make
it's
money.
Super, well, but they have rematch clauses in their contracts where I don't think the UFC has that.
That's because boxing are independently coordinated, right? So it's not Dana setting fights. It's... like four different organizations, first of all,
they gotta work with. Yeah.
Yeah, then the promoters from each fighter's side that are agreeing on these contracts. That's
there's so many more hurdles in boxing.
Yeah.
However, I don't know. I don't think it's like boxing, because once you lose in boxing, once you get rid of that goose egg, that zero in the loss column, you're pretty much useless. Like, a loss in boxing is way more effective than it is in MMA, because we've pretty much decided UFC. MMA, you're gonna get caught, you're gonna lose, that's just gonna happen.
Yeah, but the boxing thing wasn't about like the weird way it was structured. It was about just literally like the fights started getting ridiculous, and it was like they were like fixed or they were corrupt, and that was what people started getting pissed off about boxing, my recollection.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird how quickly we lost faith in Don King, because I trusted him. I was trying to hire him to watch my house when I was out of town.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because yeah, that's the level of trust you should have in Don King.
I gave him power of attorney.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you should. But we'll see what happens. Is there any more cards left this year, Giorgio?
No.
This is the last week, last fight card. It's a fight night. You got Sean Strickland.
Okay,
fighting Jared Cannonier. That'll be a nice, fun fight.
Cannonier's gonna knock him into oblivion.
Probably. Yeah. But you know, Strickland's a good shit talker.
Yeah, he's just I'll show walk, up for that for
he's
sure.
He's going to walk forward at him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's what, an ESPN Plus fight?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ESPN Plus.
Fight Night, pay-per-view. Apex Center.
Yeah, because we paid the $74.99 for that, and that was a massive regret.
I mean, the undercard was amazing, though.
It was.
Yeah, you guys have to admit. You got to see Russell Jr.
Yeah, that kid?
Biggest winner of the weekend was Topuria.
Yeah.
And the kid, the 18-year-old.
Yeah, Russell
Jr. He got a shit ton of press off of that.
Rosenstreek, you know, kind of put a established himself again, and you know, Dawkins is a pretty decent heavyweight fighter. I mean, Shabazian's getting back on the winning track, and then like I said, the Chris Curtis Joaquin Buckley fight, like the undercard was would have been an amazing fight night, main card
on its own.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That you didn't pay for.
Ponzinibbio caught Monaco.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
you're Vape King.
The Vape King, dude. And he got the fight of the night, by the way. They gave him the prize money. Did you see it?
Yeah. Anytime Ponzinibbio gets a win and gets more, like, gets moving up and up in the card, the better. Like, that dude's just such an entertaining, amazing fighter. Like, it's hard to put him at that elite level, but if you just want to have fun, like, he's the dude to go to.
Yeah. And the Vape King, they end up getting fight of the night, so he got a little bonus there. He's able to go back to Darth Vapor.
Oh, Marino. No.
Love that.
His vape shop and continue on as a legend. We'll switch on over to the NFL here. Speaking of switching, my game got switched yesterday on my television, and I started to wonder if it was just my cable service of YouTube TV or just the cold, sad reality that Tom Brady is no longer good.
Well, it's not, you can't really blame a lot of this on Tom Brady. I mean, he puts a ball right. I mean, it ended up hitting his close to his feet, but a touchdown pass that should have absolutely been a touchdown pass if Homeboy had run the correct route.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's, he's been dealing with a lot of nonsense this year. I mean, to be frank, if he was on the 49ers right now, they would be undefeated.
My God, man.
He got brocked.
Yeah. I think it was halftime and they just switched the game. It's 28-0.
Yeah, they switched to the Panthers game, I think, or something like that. I don't remember. I think it was Carolina. It was some shitty game.
Yeah, I think it was Seattle against, yeah, it was the Panthers. Yeah, Panthers, that's the game they switched to.
And the Panthers beat Seattle.
Yeah, they sure did. And it was like, man, we're switching off of the 49ers versus Tom Brady here. That game was awful. 49ers, Brock Purdy looked great. I can't believe I'm saying this. Like,
I know.
He looked amazing. One.
I hate myself for, I used to be on the Brock Purdy train, especially at Iowa State.
Were you?
And then he kept letting me down, and I'm just like, I guess I can't
Iowa
see him
State,
being
not
good.
Purdy.
Yeah, that's true. That's it might Iowa be more State. Of a reflection of Iowa State.
There was zero talk after the game of finding another quarterback after that performance, and can he continue this, I guess? The other part is...
Just make no mistakes.
Debo Samuel went out with a leg injury. Apparently, it is an ankle... Not anything structurally wrong with his knee or anything else. So,
but it's a high ankle.
Correct.
Right?
So he's going to be out for a few weeks.
He may not be back until the Super Bowl. It's a 4 to 6 week injury, high ankle sprain typically, right?
So what are you looking at? Second round of the playoffs, if best right now?
Still got 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, he's got four to six.
Four right now would put you in the second round of the playoffs, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And then...
No, it's week. Was this week 14 in the NFL that just passed, or week 13?
So 14. They've played 13 games. Yep. They still have four more games.
Yeah. The Super Bowl is 8 weeks from today, from tomorrow.
It is, yes. Right? Correct.
So
okay.
There's a week between the...
So 5 weeks to the playoffs.
Yes. So you're looking at second round here, at best, like I said. We'll see what happens there. The crazy thing is, this looks like the most complete team in the NFL. Their defense is fucking unstoppable. The NFC.
Gonna push back.
Go ahead.
Gonna push back with the one seed.
Sure.
My Philadelphia Eagles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You're saying they're not a complete... Did you watch them dismantle the Giants yesterday?
I sure did, and I got some thoughts on that. I think the Giants are soft. I bet on the Eagles in this game.
If there's one thing the Giants are, it's soft. They're not. They might not be talented, but they're not soft.
They got fucking destroyed in this game, and they looked awful.
How is that only a reflection of the Giants?
They looked awful in this game. I'm looking at the schedule here for the Eagles.
They playing maybe the best division in football.
I don't think it is. After watching this weekend, first of all, the Cowboys should have lost to the Houston Texans with what might be their fifth string quarterback at home.
You got to throw the records out. You know?
Sure don't. The record is 1-11.
Rivalry.
It's 1-11. That's their record.
Lovie Smith said they grew as a team this weekend.
Sure. I mean, what are we doing here?
Speaking of the Texans, the last time the Giants won was against the Texans.
Just to be clear about
how soft or not they are, they're not great.
I think this best division in football might just be it's the Eagles and then the rest of these teams who played other teams besides the Eagles in this division.
Terrified of the Commanders.
There's no way.
Their pass rush is that's the thing that gives the Eagles, the teams that have the better performing offenses in the league, that's the thing that gives them the trouble. It's not the run defense. The run defense is going to come up well with Detroit, but you can outscore Detroit because their defense sucks too. But with Minnesota, who has a good run game, with Tennessee, who has a good run game, all these mid-tier teams and upper-tier teams that are actually powerful offenses, it is the pass rush that knocks them out. Right, we saw that with Mahomes against the Bengals a couple weeks ago.
Yes,
plus Rivera is a really good coach. I mean, I'm much more terrified of the Commanders than I am the Cowboys.
I forget the Cowboys and the Commanders. It's the 49ers to me. That's the nastiest defense in the NFL. This team is starting to feel like Trent Dilfer or a Ravens team all over again.
You know, I pray at the Church Shanahan.
I know you do.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's. That team, their defense is so amazing that they can just shut down anybody. That's hard to go up against, in my opinion, in the NFC, especially the way they're able to chew the clock, and that's the weakness of the Eagles.
But
so,
we're the most complete team in all football.
I don't think the Eagles' defense is that great.
It is. All the Giants' points were all garbage time touchdowns.
Yeah, the Eagles had a pretty glaring run stop issue that they've resolved, I think. We'll see, right?
Like, you still rotate in and out.
Yeah.
Also, Jordan Davis came back.
Yeah. Jordan Davis is the 6'8 dude from fucking Georgia.
The fucking monster.
Sure. Sure. Between him and Sue, and who is the other guy you guys Fletcher picked
Cox.
Up? Yeah. No. The other tackle that you picked up. Johnson, maybe? Is that his name?
No. I know who you're talking about.
I don't remember his name, but they have three legit tackles, and that's usually the solution if you have run defense problems or good internal fucking security guys. I don't see the biggest blemish for the Eagles is I don't think their run game is very good other than Hurts. Miles Sanders is extremely inconsistent week to week.
He's very small. I'm not worried about that. Going up against a 49ers defense like that is tough. I mean, I just look at this NFC after this weekend, me personally, and I think it fucking sucks, man. I mean, the Lions were favored over the 10-2 Vikings. Not only did they win, they beat them handily in that fucking game, and it wasn't really close.
Vikings beat the Bills.
There's no great team in the NFL this year.
There is, and you're looking at them.
They're the best team, I would say, but they're not
in the NFC.
There's no great team.
The Eagles would be if they had a great tight end still. I think that they would be beyond reproach at this point with the additions they've made. But we'll see, right? You still got to play the games. Minnesota has the talent. They're more talented than Detroit is, but everybody, including Vegas, was like, no.
Yep.
Detroit's on a roll. Minnesota doesn't have whatever it is to stop somebody that's coming at you hard. Minnesota doesn't now and has never had that, ever.
But if you look at their offense, Justin Jefferson is, I mean, just torching the entire league. You have Dalvin Cook. You have TJ Hockenson at tight end. Adam Thielen is your number two receiver there. What the fuck is wrong with these guys? Like, on paper, that's the team. You can't assemble a better team. Like, I don't really fucking get it from the Vikings.
Check it out.
They're losers.
Lions might be okay.
No. I think the Lions are fun to watch now that they got Jameson Williams back.
The Lions are a couple of fucking defensive draft picks in next year's draft away from being a fucking legit NFC fucking competitor.
Well, let me ask you this. Speaking of that.
Which is a weird thing to say.
Do you think Goff, exactly. Do you think Goff is the starting quarterback?
Yeah.
And then should they build around this and pick up some defensive guys?
He'll be
guys?
The starting quarterback next year probably, but if they get a couple of fucking legit, they need another pass rusher, maybe a linebacker, maybe a lockdown corner. And if they get those weapons and he doesn't perform next year in a way that they think, I mean, he's doing it right now. He's scoring a lot of points.
Yeah, other than the Patriots game, he hasn't been, like, he's been good.
In that first McVay team that made the Super Bowl, he dumped in points on that Rams team. I mean, I know Belichick fucking shut him the fuck down.
And he does it every time.
Number, apparently.
He does, yeah.
But, like, over the course of that year, I mean, do you remember that maybe the greatest NFL game I've ever watched, that Chiefs-Rams game in the Coliseum? Oh, my God. Like, Goff was putting in points in L.A.
Yeah.
He just wasn't a closer, I guess you could say.
Yeah, but that's, like, that's the rub for a lot of fucking quarterbacks that never get a chip.
Kirk.
You know what I mean? Kirk.
Yep.
Kirk Cousins is probably the best example
Christ
of that.
That guy.
I mean, Dan Marino played on a bunch of teams with awful, awful defenses. You can't really blame him for that shit.
And you can figure it out later than most.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Elway didn't win until his last 2 years.
Geno Smith right now.
Elway was like a... I mean, Elway was
27?
Geno's 28?
In his 30s. No, he's in his 30s. Yeah.
But I mean, even like Rich Gannon...
Yep.
To really go back in the day, he started to find some magic.
Matt Ryan.
Vinny Testaverde.
Matt Ryan was later on as well.
Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, Vinny Testaverde.
Then you have Brock Purdy, who figured it out immediately.
Right? Well, did he or did his coach?
Does it matter?
Shanahan.
It's Shanahan.
I'm sorry, does it fucking matter?
It sure doesn't. And because, if you're able to do this with Brock Purdy, holy shit. All I kept thinking was when I was watching that game, I was like, oh my God, what if Brady just switched teams
This is the same shit we've been talking about Miami for the last couple of years. It's like, I don't think of Tua as a stereotypically great NFL quarterback, but can he do the small thing that they're asking him to do, throw slants for the most part?
Right.
And everyone coming out of that system's having success.
Like, all they have to do is fucking keep this dude upright. Their offensive line has to stay legit and keep him upright so he's not making mistakes, and they will probably win the Super Bowl. I mean, it's going to be them or Philly. I don't think the Chiefs or the Bills can beat either one of these two
Chiefs
teams.
The Chiefs are looking pretty rough
now. Their defense is... The Eagles and 49ers defenses are too good. The Bills defense isn't anywhere close to either one of these two guys.
By the way, because I wasn't shitting on the Eagles, I just think you're down to two teams. The Cowboys, I mean, after that game yesterday, I don't know if you saw the move that they just made this morning.
T.Y. Hilton.
Yes. I mean, they need fucking help
there.
That means
OBJ's not playing in the NFL this year.
He sure isn't, and I texted you over the weekend about it. So the inside scoop on the OBJ thing is His knee isn't going to be ready until the last round of the playoffs or potentially the Super Bowl. Jerry Jones said, look, I will give you a contract, but it is on a pay-to-play deal. OBJ wants a guaranteed contract so that he's got money coming in, obviously, from his crypto.
Well, yeah, when you take Bitcoin as a salary, you know, you kind of got to get that money
back. Just hold.
Yeah, I like T.Y. Hilton. I think he's great. I'm not sure.
I hate T.Y. Hilton.
Why?
Because
the Cowboys got him?
No, because of FIU. I went to an FIU-UCF game, and T.Y.
Hilton torched you guys?
He single-handedly won them the game on, like, I think it was like a 17-10 game. It was awful. It's the worst experience of my life. But I had to buy season FIU tickets to go to the game because they weren't selling single-game tickets to UCF fans. So you had to become a season ticket holder for FIU.
That's amazing.
So I've got a take for you. T.Y. Hilton has had problems in big games dropping passes.
Okay.
And I think it's going to happen. I mean, Dallas, you can't ask for a better stepchild moment, can you, than the Dallas goddamn Cowboys bringing in a ringer at the end and he fucking boop, drops the ball. Yeah.
Or that's, Dak overthrowing him.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
The fun part is they'll probably just blame Dak for his drops.
Yep.
To be honest.
Probably. Yep. He does get blamed for more than he's responsible for.
Yeah. But yeah, after watching this weekend, no lie, in the NFC, there's two teams that I would feel confident betting on a week in and week out basis, and then the Lions, man. The Lions are a fun fucking team.
I almost agree with him. I think if it gets to the playoffs, I mean, the NFL more than any other sport is just get in and see what happens, because that's an any given Sunday situation. But the Commanders are going to be dangerous in the playoffs because they only have to score like 15 fucking points to win a game.
If I were the Niners,
they only score 15 points a game.
But if I was the Niners, especially more than the Eagles, I would be fucking terrified of catching the Commanders in your first round matchup.
They're going to come in playing with nothing to lose and a lot of energy and a bunch of fucking young people. Chase Young will probably be back.
I was just going to ask you, do you have any insight on that? Is Chase Young coming back this year?
The only reason they put him on the active roster is because they know he's coming back at some point this year.
So he can go berserker in the playoffs. Yep. And that is not just like, they have a good defense, so that's a tough matchup for anyone. That's a specifically bad matchup for the Niners.
Yeah.
And they do not have the quarterback to overcome that.
And their offensive line has had problems. Right? Yeah. They've got every quarterback on their roster is in the IR right now for that very fucking reason.
Right. And that line was pretty big for the Eagles trying to get that first round bye as the one seed. So we play the Bears this weekend, so win that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be fine.
Honestly, the way they're playing right now, if I had to gun to head, I would say the Eagles probably beat the 49ers in the NFC Championship. But I agree with you. I don't think any of those teams can really compete with them if they play their game. And by the way, Jalen Hurts is going to win the MVP this year. I don't think there's any question about that.
Who would be ahead of him?
Maybe Mahomes.
Mahomes was the betting favorite before this weekend. I don't know. I mean, they won.
Jalen Hurts is now -110 to win. So, and everybody else is +200 or higher.
Yeah. Well, Mahomes had a kind of bad day.
He threw three picks, but two of them weren't really his fault, in my opinion.
And he still had, 350 yards and three touchdowns. But
Eagles still need a quarterback, you know?
Yeah, they do.
Man, can you imagine Minshew was in there?
God damn it, dude.
The good news is...
It would be the best team ever.
It looks like Goddard's going to be back either this week or next week.
He can wait a week. We don't need him for the Bears.
Well, he started to practice this week, so... Or actually, he started to practice on Thursday, but I don't think they wanted to put him in this game. But yeah, you don't need him against the Bears. You could score fucking 20 points maybe and beat the Bears. They can't score right now.
Not without Fields.
And they're going to shut Fields down for the rest of the year, you would think.
Yeah, don't kill him. You're not the Dolphins. You're not playing for anything.
I think they need to go full-on Army, triple option.
Agreed.
Because what else? They don't. Who's their quarterback?
At this point, is it Trevor Siemian?
It might be. Or it might be like a back. It might be a running back who's playing quarterback.
Use the C-man to play like Navy.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, I'm looking at the numbers here. So Mahomes, massive difference. Jalen Hurts, 3,100 yards passing this year. Pat Mahomes, 4,160.
Mm-hmm. Touchdowns are comparable. And also
touchdowns,
Hurts has way more rushing yards.
Throwing touchdowns, Jalen Hurts is at 22. Pat Mahomes is at 33 right now.
And I don't Hurts know how many. 10 rushing go with touchdowns.
Rushing. Yeah, 10 rushing touchdowns.
How many rushing touchdowns?
So total 10. Touchdowns.
He's got 10.
How many does Mahomes have on the ground?
Probably three, if I had to guess.
I'm going to say zero.
No, he definitely has at least couple. One.
Yeah, he's got let's see. I don't know where to find that stat at. Rushing.
It's going
to
be rushing.
Yeah.
No, click on that. Okay, gotcha.
He's got two.
There we go. He's got two this year.
So 35 to 32 in the touchdowns.
And then an extra 1,000 yards. And then rushing-wise, How many? Jalen Hurts has got a lot of rushing yards. Mm-hmm. Is he their best rusher this year?
He might be.
He might be over the running backs there. That's the only thing you got to worry about.
No, Miles Sanders has got 1,068.
Yeah, but if that's your concern, you also have to have the same concern with the Bills because their entire run game is Josh Allen.
I do. And in looking at the Bills, there was a reporter actually who asked him after the game yesterday, this doesn't look like a playoff team. And he was just like,
said it doesn't look like an offense that can win in the playoffs.
Correct, yes.
And by the way, he's right about that, in my opinion, because they have big problems. Their right tackle sucks. So Josh Allen is running for his fucking life a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have any run game other than him to speak of. Mm-hmm. That's a big fucking problem.
You're asking Josh Allen to be perfect.
Yeah. And I said this before the trade deadline. Why aren't they going after a big name running back? And I said, CMC is out there. Get CMC. They didn't. The 49ers did. And you see how drastically these teams have changed.
There's a couple of good running backs that are on shitty teams that they probably could have leveraged away, to be honest. And I don't know why they never made a fucking effort. I mean, maybe they did behind the scenes. Who knows? But Damian Pierce, for example, is on Houston.
Yeah.
They don't need that fucking guy.
No.
I mean, he's getting all their carries because he's the only person there that can stand upright.
He's over 1,000 yards.
But he's only fucking... He's got way less carries than any of the guys above him on the fucking rushing list here.
Yeah.
Like, that's a legit dude that you could fucking... And this has been their problem for years now. They don't have a running game, and they don't have a good run defense. And their offensive line sucks. Now, San Francisco's got that problem as well. Their offensive line is not performing well. And Dallas, it's going to get worse for them now because their right tackle, who's their best offensive lineman, is now out for the year.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So you're talking about teams that have... missing pieces. The only one I see, to his point, where the one missing piece is coming back and Goddard is Philly. I don't see, like, do you really think that the 49ers offensive line is going to be able to stand up to the Philly pass rush plus their really good secondary?
Yes.
There's no fucking way.
That 49ers defense is one of the best I've seen.
I'm not talking about the defense. I'm talking about their shitty offensive line that has led to two fucking quarterbacks losing their legs this year.
Well, look, I think with Shanahan, it's so hard to tell, man. I mean, if you're turning Brock Purdy into a guy that's dropping fucking 35 on the Bucks, like, what are we doing, dude?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty impressive. AFC-wise, with you on the Bills. Watch out for the Bengals again.
Yeah.
They're quietly now 9-4. And
they're getting it together.
Joe Burrow is getting it together.
Mm-hmm. He gets better as the season.
It's not just Burrow. It's that defense. The Bengals defense is probably the most underrated defense in the NFL. Their pass rush especially is really fucking good.
Yeah, I would watch out for Joe Burrow again here as they keep going because it seems like they're clicking at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chiefs are the Chiefs.
They could be the best team.
They play when they want to play, yeah. And they're 10-3, and it seems like...
I'll grant on this game, it looks close. The Broncos scored a lot of points. But
yeah, how are you giving 28 up to the Broncos?
But they
gave up. It was like 35-0.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of jacked off for like a quarter.
Which
and
they
half.
Always do. And it's like, what the fuck?
Even when they won the Super Bowl, the year they won the Super Bowl, would they go down against the Texans like 35-0 or something?
They were down 20 points.
Yeah. And then against the Titans, they were down three scores as well.
24-0 at halftime,
I mean, it was fucking crazy.
You'll never know who the Chiefs are until the playoffs actually start.
You know, really,
they just don't care.
What really sucked, by the way, Mahomes still had 3 touchdowns.
Right.
So and like 400 yards without even trying.
Russell Wilson had his only good game of the season, and it ended in a concussion.
Yes. Yep.
Man, it's like... All finally, karma's getting this dude for being
Russ
a fake
cook.
Piece of shit.
Did you see the no look pass that Mahomes had to Jared McKinnon?
It wasn't even a pass. It was like
a hook shot.
Sometimes I feel like Mahomes is like Belichick, where it's like it's so easy for him that he's like, you know what, I can just flick this fucking ball.
Yeah,
and then he throws an interception.
Like I think actually it had gotten too easy, so he was like last year, and he was just like, you know what, hey Jackson, start coming to all my games.
Mm.
Let's just see. Like, he's just throwing wrenches into it. He's like, you know what? I'm going to marry this
woman.
Haven't,
you haven't seen his dumbass wife anywhere this year. That's for sure.
Before we get to tonight's game, as always, we're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet with us or against us. Had a pretty goddamn good day yesterday in the NFL. Only thing I lost on was the Vikings in a teaser that I had teased up.
Yeah.
Ironically, to 9.5.
Backdoor.
They couldn't even cover that.
20-second field goal.
Yeah, 20 seconds left.
All we needed was a first down by the Lions, and they knee it out. Fourth down, kick the field goal, go up 11 with 20 seconds left.
Unbelievable. But that, other than that, we were pretty goddamn good. And again, head on over to mybookie.com. Use promo code DRINKINBROS to double that first deposit and bet with us or against us. College bowl games kick off this week. The NFL's in full swing. And these games have been really fucking good. Like, I've enjoyed the NFL so far this year. You know, save for some of these injuries. So they're fun to bet on. And if you're looking to go to any of these games over the holidays, go to drinkingbrostickets.com. And we offer tickets over there for about $10 cheaper than StubHub. All the games that we'll talk about next week and on the college show this week are available there. Everything, concerts, all that other stuff. Head on over to drinkingbrostickets.com. No promo code over there. Let's look at tonight's game. It is the Patriots against the Cardinals. This line keeps moving all over the place. So currently, right now, this is New England -2.5. Last week when we did this game, it was a point. I don't know why it's going so high. Apparently, people are betting on the Patriots. I fucking hate the Patriots. Who do you got in this one, D'Anthony? We'll start with you. New England -2.5 at Arizona, traveling out west there. The over-under is 44 in this game.
Yeah, I mean, I think New England probably pulls this out. Honestly, I think the Cardinals might be in tank mode right now. It kind of seems like it. They haven't been putting forth the best effort the last couple of weeks. And they're in desperate need of some help.
Mm-hmm.
So chances are they're probably tanking to get a high draft pick. They need a really good fucking right tackle, especially because this little the LP they have playing quarterback for him, he's gonna die at some point if they don't start. I mean, you have Rondale Moore,
yep, right?
Who's a fucking, could have been a first round draft pick technically in some years, but he's a late second round pick. They've got fucking Hollywood Brown and they've got DeAndre Hopkins, two of the best receivers in the NFL, and they can't get it done right now because this motherfucker can't stay upright.
Yeah. So you're taking the Patriots -2.5?
Yeah.
Also, gotcha. Probably a reflection of their coach. He's not going to
May not be the coach next
year. Yeah, the bad weekend for former Texas Tech coaches continues with this Cliff Kingsbury loss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly, I think he might be on the way out.
Ah, boy.
100%.
He has not had any success.
I think he will be on the way out. The reason why I say, oh, boy, is you almost wish this happened maybe 2 weeks ago when people were really looking at college coaches, because he'll be the top of the list.
Maybe they still have some building to do. I mean, is this team ready? Who would come in? Who's the fucking NFL coach lying in wait for this job right now?
You know, it's weird about the NFL.
John Gruden going to come back?
No.
Well,
certainly not.
He could after that.
Fuck that. That would be insane.
He's going to win his lawsuit and never have to work again.
So, NFL in the history
also,
of the NFL.
He's a shitty coach, and you shouldn't hire him because he sucks at coaching.
He's a Super Bowl champion.
He's not a terrible coach. He's a very bad team builder.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's probably the thing he sucks. Because the team he won with in Tampa Bay was built by?
Tony Dungy.
There you go.
And he beat his own team.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's a decent coach. He is a very bad team builder. I was just kidding about that. But who else is out there?
I mean, I think you probably just go with a coordinator.
Leftwich, maybe?
Yeah.
Leftwich is the next guy up, I think.
Oh, Leftwich would be great at that.
There's an offensive coordinator in Kansas City that still needs to get
for
a
sure,
look.
For sure, yeah. The but enemy, do you, yeah. I kind of think that Tampa Bay management knew that the team wasn't going to be great. And that's why they put Bulls in there to eat some shit instead of Leftwich and fuck them up.
Yeah,
maybe. I kind of get that feeling, too. And it's probably why Homeboy stepped away from the team as well.
Yeah.
I don't think it was like, I'm just going to promote the new black coach, man. That's something. I'm a good guy. It's like, no, this team's going to suck, and I'm out.
I got my ring.
Why not both, you know?
I mean, it could be both.
Delco, who do you got in tonight's game?
This does seem like the type of quarterback that Belichick can shut down. Mm. 2.5 on the road. I'm going to go with the under, 44.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you got, Bum?
Yeah, Bill Belichick scheming a defense against a guy who doesn't do extra film work.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots defense is going to fucking feast.
If there's an over on Ramondre Stevenson rushing yards, I'd probably take that. Okay. Like, no shit, because they're going to run the ball down their throat all night, down Arizona's throat all night.
Yeah, I mean, think about this. This is the smartest defensive coach in football against a dude who can't be bothered to learn plays.
Hey, man, war zone's out.
Like, true. I'm going to place that under right now.
Like, I mean, Kyler Murray has trouble reading defenses on a normal week.
Wait, what's the over-under in this game?
44 right now.
You can take that up to fucking 51.
You could, yeah.
And tease it with the fucking go plus 9.5 Arizona and over or under 51. That's probably acceptable.
I've already bet this game. I took Arizona plus 9.5 and the over was actually down. So I took the over down to 36.5 in this one. It's a 2017 game. So they've got to get to at least 2017 in the NFL. I took three.
They don't always have to.
Not in a Bill Belichick game.
I took three down this weekend, and I'll read them off to you here because a lot of people were asking, like, why the fuck would you do this? I'd never seen unders this low. So here's what I was able to do with these teasers on my bookie. If you bet three games, especially overs, if you want to, you can get it up to plus 10. So I took the Baltimore Ravens and the Steelers down. I took the over down to 26.5. It's the lowest I've ever been able to take an over down in the NFL in my life.
Just to do it.
Just to do it, and it hit. I took the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus 49ers. I took that over down to 27, and that hit. The other third leg of this was the over of 31 for the Jaguars versus the Titans, and that also hit. And I took that down 10 points. I think for the Cardinals at home, yes, I think they will get to 14 to 17 points at least. I don't know that they'll necessarily win the game, but I took it up to 9.5, and here we are.
I mean, the Pats putting some points up, especially if there's a lot of turnovers.
Cardinals are giving up 27 a game.
Yep.
And I think they're in the bottom. They're definitely in the bottom third in the league for giveaways. So, yeah, you have to imagine there's going to be a special teams or defensive touchdown at least.
And now the New England's won, they've lost, pardon me, two in a row here on this one. They lost bad to the Bills, 24-10. And then they lost. It was a pretty good Vikings game, though, on Thanksgiving, 33-26 there. So we'll see what happens. They're on the road tonight. But that's our bets, and you can bet with us or against us on mybookie.com on this one. And we'll flip on over to baseball. What was the trade that the Braves just made?
So the Braves got Sean Murphy, who is probably like a top, what, two or three or four catcher in baseball.
Mm-hmm. He's a top 30 catcher.
How
top
old is 30? He?
27.
27, okay.
He's 28.
28, okay.
And what do the Braves have to give up?
So the Braves, it was a three-way trade between the Braves, Brewers, and Athletics. The Braves got Sean Murphy. The Brewers got William Contreras and a couple dudes from the A's. The A's got from the Braves Moeller and Pena, another cat, like our fourth catcher. Moeller was the big prize that the A's got, and then another couple dudes from the Brewers, including Tarnak, who is a highly rated guy.
Kyle Moeller, who is the tall left-hander, who's just never worked out for us. I mean, he's like a 4-7 ERA guy every time he comes up. In the I knew they were going to trade him at some point because maybe he'll work as a back end starter for a shitty team like Oakland, for example.
Okay.
Freddie Tarnak is a major league ready back into the rotation guy right now.
Okay.
And potential for 2-3 starter at some point. And I have no idea why they added him in this trade. It's a fucking terrible deal.
For the Braves?
Long term, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, short term, this will probably work out. Although, I don't know why they gave up Contreras. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Would you rather give him Darnold? I mean, Darnold's...
I would rather not give up either one of them. Why the fuck do you have to make this move? Contreras is 24 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And would be, I guess, 25 next year when he would become, I guess, maybe the A option, the 1A option my assumption is, and the Braves have been this way for the better part of a decade, really, since McCann. It's all about, they love framing. They always care about framing, stealing strikes, essentially, which is huge. I mean, it's a game changer to get, you know, someone an 0-1 instead of 1-0, so on and so forth. Murphy and Travis d'Arnaud, our other catcher who we kept, are two of the top five framers in baseball.
Why is this their first move here during the offseason? Everybody else is making exciting moves except for the Braves.
I think this is an exciting move. Phillies, Padres,
they've dialed up some superstars on their team. Why aren't the Braves adding any superstars?
Here's why. So at first base, all-star. At second base, all-star. At third base, all-star. at center field all-star, at right field all-star.
That's we already have a team full of superstars. But, not to mention Max Fried and fucking, I guess that's, I mean, Kyle Wright was a 20-game winner last year.
Yep.
We have two guys in our rotation who were receiving Cy Young votes this year.
And then Spencer Strider, who won the rookie, or who was second place in the rookie of the year, and Michael Harris.
Right.
Like they,
so the Braves just looking at this as, look, our team is set. We're just trying to add pieces.
Yeah, they'll probably add a couple of more relievers if I had to guess. Probably another lefty reliever. I don't know what Dylan Lee's situation is, but if they keep him, they may not make a move like that.
Who's the dude? The guy from the Tigers, a righty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And he's a 1 year removed from being an all-star. Yeah. Actually, well, I guess technically two because of COVID. But yeah, he's a legit dude. He's very similar to Raisel Iglesias, who's going to be our closer now, who's quite a bit better than Kenley Jansen.
Thank God Kenley Jansen's gone.
One move I thought we might make was to bring in another starter at the back end of the rotation just to compete. And we may still do that. I don't know yet. And then cut Marcell Ozuna. Burn the money in front of him and just launch him into the fucking ocean. I don't give a shit about his 0.7 wins above replacement, 20 home runs, and choking his wife. I don't want this guy out of here. He's a cunt. He sucks at everything. You put him in left field, and it's a goddamn two-run liability in any given situation.
Yeah.
He's fucking terrible.
He's so bad. And clearly, by the way, we seem to have some intention of essentially using our other catcher as a DH, whether it's Lee or Murphy or Darnell.
There's no way they're going to fucking have either one of those dudes on the bench. Because they, like, I mean, Murphy, I think, hit 20 home runs last year. His wins above replacement is 3.5, something like that, which is higher than goddamn Ozuna. So I assume at this point their plan is still to platoon Rosario and Ozuna in left field. Both of them suck at defense. And neither one of them really add that much in value offensively, in my opinion. 20 home runs is 20 home runs, but he's a bad situational hitter.
No on-base skills.
Yeah, he sucks running the bases. I fucking hate that guy.
Who? Ozuna?
Ozuna, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Rosario's a great... I like Rosario a lot better than Ozuna.
I mean, to be honest, if Rosario makes a comeback to his Cleveland days, which now that he's had eyeball surgery, that's a possibility... They don't need to platoon him because he hits well against lefties.
Yeah, and I'm fine to give Rosario a shot.
Yeah. And it seems pretty clear now because he wasn't involved in this trade that Vaughn Grissom's going to take over at shortstop, which, by the way, is going to remove about, if they don't sign Dansby Swanson, they're basically saving $25 million in salary and salary cap, which means they should go spend that money somewhere else.
Well, that's the kind of the last superstar that is left, right? Mm-hmm. So Judge signed a 9-year deal for $360 million. Good or bad for the Yankees? That's a lot of years.
It's the Yankees.
A guy with a big, long swing that's going to get paid until his 40s. Are you fucking kidding me?
Hey, and
that's a shitty deal. The one that Xander Bogaerts to 40
for the Padres
is fucking stupid. Trey Turner to 40 is fucking stupid. He's going to rapidly decline after 33, probably, right?
I think, like, Trey Turner is going to fall off
like
the cliff.
That's convenient.
Now tell me why you think I'm wrong.
As a Phillies fan,
I think you would think of the differently fightings, if man. It was the Braves.
What?
I think you would think differently if it was the
Braves. I'm so glad they didn't sign this guy. No,
I love Trey Turner, and he's going to be, it might be fine for the Phillies because he's going to be great for the next at least two to three years, and then it's a lot of dead money.
It's not a long, loopy swing, though. He has a short comeback swing.
What he does, though, is he has a really, really, really bad chase rate, bad plate discipline, which he's covered up for until now with he's a freak athlete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he can just follow Nick Castellanos.
No. One of the first things that falls off a cliff after 30 is your ability to make contact outside the zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have like $1 billion tied up with like seven guys or something.
That's what happened to me. That's what happened to Miguel Cabrera. Like, he 37 was for the first part of the season in the hunt for another triple crown, which he had just won 4 years earlier, and at 38 he's hitting like 206.
Yeah. I just don't care about giving someone that's under 30 a 10-year contract because that's just the market.
Yeah,
I
agree.
That's just what you do.
I agree. Yeah.
That's what everybody other than the Braves does. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly.
But look, man, do what you gotta do.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Teams get built in different ways.
Also, it's not my fucking money. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not your money. You didn't give a shit.
You want your team to win, right? I mean, look at the Angels.
We'll spend more money.
Yeah, but you want to win right now, and I think for the Phillies, their window is right now.
Yeah,
and
so I don't hate the deal. If it flies them a flag, then fuck it.
Because Bryce Harper is how old at this point? 30, 31?
32.
So he's probably got about another 4 to 5 years.
No, he's 30.
I think Bryce Harper plays until he's like
I do too.
Late 30s,
but as far
40s.
As his greatness, because everybody declines, like you said, right around that 36, 37 range.
Yeah, but he's got, it was a problem for him earlier in his career. He just, a lack of focus. I don't know what it was, but his approach at the plate is really fucking good.
He has two things that age really well. He's got the on-base skills are fucking off the charts.
That means he sees the ball really well, and that seeing the ball really well means you can wait longer to swing.
Yeah, and that's, you know who else looked like he had a long swing but was really intelligent? It was Chipper Jones. Yeah. I see Harper aging very similarly to Chipper Jones, and unlike Chipper, he's not going to have to play the fucking field.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's awesome. Done for him.
That's true, yeah.
Also, I mean, Bryce seemed to find the clutch gene.
He always had the clutch
he's
gene.
He's always got that.
He's a fucking murderer.
That dude's a fucking stud. I mean, he plays with... They talked about it in, I think, at the UFC fight the other day, but there's two types of dudes in a fight. Somebody that gets hit and fucking recoils, and somebody that gets hit and fucking immediately goes harder. Bryce Harper is the latter of those two things. Like, his vision gets better the more intense the situation is. That's what happens to some people. It's a fight or flight thing.
Yeah.
He's a goddamn warrior. I like that dude.
I enjoy him quite a bit. I still like him, you know, fuck Bryce Harper, but he's like the best heel in baseball. Yeah. And he's wonderful. I love it. It's great. And I think he'll age well. I really do. Yeah. Trey Turner is a different story, but I think Bryce Harper's going to age
like fucking
definitely
not gonna Trey age
Trey Turner's
well.
Still younger than Bryce Harper.
Yeah, but if you can play DH as a hitter with as good as Bryce Harper, I agree with you, because then his body doesn't get destroyed in the field. And let's face it, that's what happened to him this season. And he had to switch to DH for the rest of the year. We'll move on over.
He's not going to play the field for a couple of years now because he just had Tommy John surgery. He won't be back.
He won't be back until
mid
to late May at the earliest. And he won't be throwing a baseball again until 2024.
He used to be like a five-tool player.
There's no point.
He's got a hose, but look, he's going to have a great arm again after this.
He has better range than most of our
outfielders. Also, Turner's only a year younger.
He's definitely
better
than Castellanos in right field defensively.
Apparently not in the playoffs.
Yeah, no.
He made every catch.
Well, he made two really great catches. I don't know.
One against the Braves, it probably killed a rally.
I don't know that he got to every ball.
He made the same catch.
He's not great at judging the ball. There's a little bit of a Jim Edmonds effect there because it was probably a routine ball.
Yeah.
And he's just like, got it. I mean, it looks good on TV. Who cares?
It does.
Exactly.
Speaking of men that like to choke their wives.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we'll switch on over to college basketball. Where the top story isn't the new rankings, where Purdue is now number one in the nation.
When's the last time Purdue was number one?
I don't
last year.
Last year.
Were they really?
Yeah, they lost to Rutgers immediately.
Like preseason number one?
Yeah. No.
No, but they were ranked number one. I mean, Purdue's a great basketball program.
Yeah, they've always been good, but number one, because the votes are very, very split on this. So Purdue got 27 votes. Virginia is number two with 19.
UConn needs to be one.
Well, UConn has got 15 first place votes. Alabama is now in the top five, and then Houston. Now, number seven on this list is Texas.
Mm-hmm.
They had a choke job last week, and then a choke job last night. Apparently, is their coach still in jail for choking a family member?
An hour ago,
just got out.
He did,
and this is some news we got earlier. BT Bates sent it to me.
Okay,
prominent Austin attorney Perry Minton is representing Beard and says Coach Beard is 100% innocent of these charges. He should have never been arrested. The complainant wants him released immediately and all charges dismissed. It is truly inconceivable.
Well, there's a sentence in there that is really telling. The complainant wants him
released immediately,
which is telling me that they're going to recant that story and this is going to go away.
It's all a big misunderstanding.
If you're Texas, you got to fire this guy, right?
No. Not if the wife literally testifies or says, you know, to the
people. She needs to do a press conference.
Immediately.
But
hear his name.
Hey, I overcooked the chicken. And this is what happens.
Yeah.
I voted for Beto.
Yeah.
It's a choke for a choke. The chicken was dry and he coughed and.
But there was a weird.
It was 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
It happened at midnight. The arrest and stuff was at four, but apparently the incident happened at midnight.
But there was a weird sentence in these charges where it was strangulation with.
It was intent to stop either breathing or circulation.
Impede breath circulation. I've never heard that phrase in my fucking life.
I haven't either, and I wanted to ask you about it today because that's the first time I've read a charge of strangulation where that sentence was in The charges, what does that mean?
And it means what it means. It's just, he tried to choke her. Different. But that's just like, this is like when you let attorneys fucking describe things. Like,
not in the bedroom, though?
Well, good question. Who knows? She doesn't call the police.
Yeah, how are the police getting involved? That's the case.
Right. Well, that's part of the play, actually. Right? It's like, you dial 911 while I do this.
But looking at Chris Beard, this obviously looks like a guy who would do this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the carbon copy of
It looks not great.
No.
If you're going to judge that book just by its cover, you're going to believe every word of this.
I don't think they're going to be able to keep him. I think the pressure will be too much, and they're going to have to fucking fire this guy.
Yeah, but they're good now.
I know. What do you do?
If she comes out and says it's bullshit,
then they're going to keep him.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, not to get political or anything, but how much does a woman have to be acting up before you can choke her a little bit?
I think she has to have a weapon.
What's what's political about that statement?
It's not a very politically correct thing to ask.
She has to have a weapon, and she has to have intent to like use it against you.
Yeah, well, Daniel Tosh did a good bit on this about 15 fucking years ago. It's like, never hit a woman. Never? Really?
Yeah. I mean,
if you come, you got three kids, you come home, and she's drowned.
Two of them.
Two of your kids.
And she's getting ready
to drown the third. Can you pop her in the fucking face then?
No, there was a great example of that definition over the weekend at a Phoenix Coyotes game against the Boston Bruins.
Oh, what the fuck is the Phoenix Coyotes?
It is a NHL team. NHL team.
Arizona.
And
I thought they contracted that team.
Not yet.
They're on the way out.
Well, I think at Arizona State Stadium now.
They don't even have their own arena anymore.
Aren't they like getting ready to move to another city?
They'd send that team to any city in Canada.
I thought they were going to go to Houston or
anywhere.
Seattle. Literally but now anywhere. The Kraken are in Seattle. I think it's going to Houston because that dude that owns all those teams there wants all three.
That's such a
sports.
Solid setup though in Glendale, their old stadium in the bar area around.
Yeah,
it.
I know.
It was dope. Yeah,
I know. The fight was dope. This is one of the most ruthless fan fights I've ever seen in my entire life. And then homeboy just knocked out this woman wearing a Gronk jersey, and it was shocking to see.
That's the most Arizona thing I've ever fucking heard.
Holy shit. But it was a Boston Bruins fan who did it. So
of course
like,
it was.
Do you think it was Allie Ray? Because she's a Bruins fan.
It was not her. The girl had dark hair, and they really made they zoomed in on it. It's become a meme now, and it was just like that moment you realize you fucked up. And she appeared to try to stop it, but
yeah. I would assume, so we were just talking about when is it okay to hit a woman. Now, this isn't actually a time it's okay to hit a woman, but I think there is a segment of Bostonians that believe if you are wearing a Bruins jersey, you have more license to hit a woman. Like, yes. I think they just feel like I can hit anything.
Yeah.
In
that scenario, it's not a man versus a woman. It's a Bruins fan versus somebody else.
Yeah, versus anything.
I understand
Boston
that.
Boston versus the world.
Yeah.
They're getting everybody back for that fucking bombing that happened.
They really are.
He's got David Ortiz echoing in his ear. This is our fucking city.
Yeah.
People are asking about the Baker Mayfield thing. Oh, God damn it.
Elite. Let's go, baby.
Oh, elite.
Boy. I forgot about that.
He plays.
It's already scrubbed out of your mind.
Is he on Thursday again this week?
It was Thursday last week, but I lost that game because of that play, obviously.
Didn't even know the playbook. Came back.
I stepped off a plane and then just did it. People were actually asking after that game if he could be their starter next year. No.
Could be the future.
No,
let's
he
go.
Cannot.
Let's go.
And they were like, well, you got a riverboat gambling coach and a riverboat gambling player. Who cares? It's a great fit.
I'm sorry. What's a riverboat gambling player?
It's what they use to call people who are too dumb to actually make completions, and they just chuck it in the air.
Maybe he should go to Arizona, and then he and Kyler Murray can each study half of the fucking playbook.
Wait, hold on. What does this have to do with riverboat gambling, and who is besaking the sweet name
McVay's
of it?
Yeah, McVay's not a riverboat gambling coach.
That's what they were describing
him as. He's like a psychoanalytical guy.
ESPN described them as a match made in heaven. After that, I was like, no, none of this is true. Let him have a game against a team. Who were they playing? I don't even remember who they were playing last week. I know it was 17-16. Was it Seattle?
No.
Who was the fucking Thursday night game last week? The Raiders. Oh, my God. Yes. Even better. For the people that are asking in the chat and all that other shit, no. It's the Raiders. That's your answer.
Also,
it's the Raiders.
Well, I don't think Stafford's going to be there next year.
I think he might retire.
Yeah. He's fucked up and he's got his chips.
So is it the worst thing if Baker's your quarterback next year for the Rams?
Yes, it is. Get him out of the league.
He's going to eat up.
Draft a quarterback.
They don't have draft picks.
Yeah. They don't have any for until 26, I think.
They gave. They so they
it every cu- pick is gone next year
the
for those
first
guys?
Round is.
The first round.
Their entire the existence round? Right now is that fucking Thanos meme. What did it cost you? Everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
But they got that shit.
They got the shit.
Dude, Baker Mayfield, good luck. Good luck.
Listen, McVay's a good coach. If you can get anything out of Baker,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is pretty much more of an indictment. I mean, look at Carolina right now. They're starting to click once Rule's out. It's a little bit of an indictment of Rule.
I guess. I don't know. It's dirt.
It was extremely bizarre that he was ever hired to be an NFL coach.
That's true.
Yeah. I think the Carolina gets a new quarterback this year. We'll see about the Rams. I don't know what Stafford's going to do.
The Rams haven't had a first-round draft pick since 2016.
Good
God. They traded their 2017 draft pick to Tennessee to get Jared Goff in the first round of 2016. They traded their first-round pick from 2018 to New England for Brandon Cooks.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
A first-round fucking draft pick for a guy
that is concussion problems,
later second-round wide receiver draft pick.
Right.
They traded... they swapped 2019 with Atlanta from 2 second-round picks, I think, or a second.
Pretty sure
they
traded picks for Jalen Ramsey.
Then 20 and 21 was traded just for Jalen Ramsey, and then 22 and 23 traded just for Matthew Stafford. Now, I don't know about beyond that,
right?
But I know they lost some other draft picks. Well,
they don't have the first round next year.
Yeah, 23 they don't have.
Which was a top five pick until that win. Mm-hmm. So they can keep winning. Baker's fine to keep winning because like it's not going to cost them anything.
Not at this point, no.
Got it. I was trying to figure that out as well of why even bother. But if you don't have a first, I guess it doesn't really matter then, does it?
You want to keep winning, so the trade you made doesn't look as bad.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because I was trying to figure that one out as well. And then this Mike Leach story. Mike Leach, the coach of Mississippi State, is in critical condition for what, Delco?
He's dead.
He's not dead yet from what I can tell.
I think he's a vegetable at this point.
He had a massive heart attack. They didn't find him for like 15 minutes. So no fucking oxygen to the brain, all that shit. They revived him, had to airlift him to the only hospital worth the shit in the entire state of Mississippi, in Jackson. And yeah, I think now he's like on life support and his family's coming in to say their goodbyes and figure out what to do.
Man,
that's a sad story.
He's only 61.
Yeah.
And looking at him, he looks like he's in his mid-70s, to be honest. I don't know how he gets around.
I think he looks 61. He's just fat.
Yeah. He's just overweight. Yeah.
He's got like sunken in eyeballs and fat around the jowls. That's
doesn't have a face care routine.
No, and look. No.
He'd rather talk about pirates.
Yeah.
Coaching is a difficult profession. It's weird. It's 61 years old. Man, that would be a sad story if he does end up dying there.
I mean, I think he's dead.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's, for all intents and purposes, already. Like, they're just flying in so that everyone can say goodbye before they pull the plug, I'm pretty sure.
Who are you hearing that from, by the way?
So the Mississippi State 247 Sports correspondent, Steve Robertson, this is what he wrote. I wish I had better news. I'm told they have transitioned him into comfort care measures. It's essentially hospice care at this point. He's been largely, if not totally, unresponsive since the cardiac event yesterday morning. It appears to just be a matter of time now. Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that. The Braves traded Contreras.
Yeah, that's part of the Murphy
gotcha,
deal.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. And now's the point in the show we get to the drinking bro of the week. Is he here?
He's here. Hey.
He's here. Come on in.
Hey, I'm coming.
Come on in, brother.
He's coming.
Come on
up.
Dude. Come on in, dude.
Stay by chair, baby.
Where's he running to?
He's got a present for you.
Oh, he's got gifts.
He's got a liquid gift.
Here mm-hmm. we go. What do we got here? What do we got?
Liquid gift. Is it cum?
I hope so. He's got a Rangers hat on there.
Unfortunately, I think cum's too viscous to call it a liquid gift.
I don't know. I call it my liquid gift.
Yeah.
So you're saying if I had a bottle of cum like this, if I just filled this with cum and went to the airport, they wouldn't stop me from going through security with it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yes, they would. That's a liquid, right?
What if I tell them it's my cum?
I think you're good to go.
Not sure.
Well, okay. So they do that with breast milk, right?
Yeah. Wait, did you never get it? Like, you never collected your cum on deployment?
Yeah, dude. I've got fucking 2 liter bottles, and so I donate it, but not to people that want it. I just I put in the 2 liter bottle and just walk into public places, squeeze it.
No, I understand that.
Or do you give it to like homeless people? You know, like hey, there's here what?
Like a weird felonious Johnny Appleseed.
I like that. Tell everybody your name.
I'm Zach Fligginger.
Okay,
that's a lot of letters in that.
Yeah, that is. Jesus, well, can I buy
you
a vowel?
It's very German, but also I'm Asian too, so I'm 2/3 Axis powers. You know.
Oh yeah,
that's a joke that I run. It's too bad that I'm not Italian, because you know
you'd have a trifecta.
Yeah.
You got a little Spanish in you, or
no?
Okay,
they were just cowards.
Yeah. It's only the yellow, Dan.
Yeah, it is only the yellow.
No, we have a strict no yellow policy.
Yeah, same as Hunter Biden, obviously. You get it.
Hey, I'm Japanese though, so that's a little bit different, right?
Just don't fucking fly any planes to any buildings if you don't mind.
But make us some hibachi before you leave.
You know what? I prefer Harry Carey. You know, it's a lot more honorable.
For sure. Yeah, we get that.
And those glasses are starting to come back into style too, so that helps.
Exactly. What do you got? What do you got here today?
So I was in Germany, so I got this for Ross.
Oh, thanks,
it's
man.
It's a liter mug. It's from Germany.
A Stein? You got me a Stein?
Yeah.
I appreciate it here. Yeah. Thank you very much.
And then I got this 3 liter. This is a 1 liter. This is a 3 liter that I bought, and I was going to pound this on air.
Go ahead. Fire away. We're
fill it full of hard.
How many hard AF seltzers have you had today?
I'm going to plead the fifth on this one.
You seem like you're still with it, at least.
Yeah.
Take some breaks.
Fire away. it's fine. It's drinking bros. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, Dan, I really thought he was also going to put three in there.
I thought he was going to fill the entire thing.
Yeah, I was like, that is not a good
idea. No.
See, that's about 11th.
So that's 12 ounces only? How many does this fucking hold?
That'll hold probably nine.
Nine.
Yeah.
Holy fucking shit, dude.
Yeah. So you would die.
That'd be gnarly.
Yeah. Nah, we've had people drink 13.
That's 13. Fire away.
Not in a row. Oh, here we go. Go.
Turn the boot.
Good job.
Yeah.
Cheers, friend.
That's not a bad chugging device, actually, now that I watch you do it.
There it is. What do you think of the seltzer?
Oh, I love it. I have my third case coming soon.
Fuck yeah, the new flavors are bomb as shit. By the way, I made that order yesterday for the office.
Mm. Yeah, you're going to shit your pants when you taste the pina colada and watermelon.
Man, those are good.
Yeah, we're going to go back to the cum collecting, right?
I drank them all. Those are the flavors I drank. I drank them right out of the box when I got here, and I feel bad. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
So I want to give the drinking bro of the week to my buddy that passed away. His name is Ian Good.
Okay.
He passed away at 22 years last year. He was 22 years old last year. On December 7th.
So okay.
He went to bed and didn't wake up, so it's very unfortunate.
That sucks, man. I'm sorry to hear that.
He's literally my day one homie. Mm. Like, I knew him from birth. We were neighbors growing up and everything. So,
yeah. Well, cheers. Say his name one more time.
So his name is Ian Good. And I also want to do a shout out to Avery. He lives in Alabama. He listens to the show.
Okay. What's Avery's last name?
I don't know.
Just a username in the chat?
He's got one, probably.
All I know is that his name is Avery, and I met him through a friend of a friend, and we play Xbox. So.
Nice. All right. He could be like Cher, or you guys just got one name.
Are you in Drinking Bros Gaming?
I don't have any social media.
Oh, smart. I don't blame you.
I try and hide from the government, you know?
I understand it. We wish we could. The only good thing about that group is people that play co-ops and fucking MMORPGs and all that shit, they'll just post and be like, hey, we're going online now. So there's like fucking 20,000 people in there. So there's only somebody to play with.
I got rid of Facebook like 4 years ago.
That's where it is. Facebook's the worst place on earth. Used to be Twitter, but now Twitter's great. So.
That's why I got rid of it all. I only had Facebook, so.
I understand it. We've said it a million times, dude. As soon as whatever, you know, how many years we keep going on this ends, we're deleting social media altogether.
I'm going to burn my own house down as soon as
that
done.
Too.
Can I come watch? Jesus.
Yeah. You can actually fucking toss a goddamn Molotov cocktail.
I mean, if you want to
Ross,
do it,
real quick, I got a great story for you. So I've been listening day one.
Sure.
And I was explaining the show to one of my buddies at the bar, right?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yeah, man, like, because he did the DraftKings and all that, like, does a lot of gambling. So I was trying to give him my bookie, trying to hook him up.
Yeah.
And I was telling him the show, and I was like, hey, man, like, their first episode is pretty dark, but they're talking about pegging. And this guy stops before he opens the door, and he goes, pegging? And I was like, all right, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And then he was like, he walked into his wife, and I'm like, he's probably been pegged.
Yeah, yeah, you may want to reevaluate that relationship.
Yeah,
that
friendship altogether. No, 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 this was a stranger. No, oh, okay, okay. No, right, this was right, a different yeah. guy. Some yeah. random guy yeah, just
reevaluate that relationship. He should be your friend now.
Exactly. Invite him over for Christmas dinner.
Yeah. I haven't seen him since.
It's not too late. It's not too late. Have him over for Christmas dinner. See what kind of friend he is.
We don't kink
shame. He doesn't go to the bar anymore.
We sure don't.
I haven't seen him since, so.
All right.
But this wasn't a friend, though. This was someone different.
Yeah, stranger.
Yes, complete stranger, but, you know, he probably got pegged. Well,
home is where the pegging is.
It sure is.
I think it's the...
Home is where the hole is.
Yep. Yeah, it sure is.
Depends like on the
that.
Hole, right?
Home is where the hole is. Yeah, I like that.
Terry Schiavo said that. Callback.
The hole was in her neck.
Earlier, yeah.
No, it's from the Brave Little Toaster, actually.
Well, look, we appreciate you being here. We had a bunch of listeners actually in the studio today. If you're in Austin, want to watch a live show, pop on in. We had a bunch of guys from Arizona. We're going to hook up with them for the Super Bowl this year. We'll be out there for that game. Excited to see who's in it.
And on Saturday before the Super Bowl, we'll be at fucking Waste Management on correct. The 16th hole
yep.
for that.
Yep. So we'll be there for that.
So good luck to these assholes who have to produce whatever the fuck we end up doing after experiencing
and
that.
And also, if the Eagles are in the Super Bowl.
Well, one last note on that, by the way. So we talked to our partner, Benny, here, and I said, who are you hoping for? He's been doing this for years and years and years, so he knows what the highest prices are for the tickets. And we usually hope for something a little different than that, obviously, because we have to pay for them. We don't get free Super Bowl tickets. He said the highest would be the San Francisco 49ers.
Probably,
so that is who he is personally rooting for.
No.
So now I'm kind of not rooting for that because we have
birds.
To. Well, yeah, we got to pay for those tickets.
So fly yeah. Eagles, fly.
I mean, there's a lot of. I don't think the Eagles are going to be too far behind them. If you look at ticket prices just at their home stadiums, the Eagles have gone way up the last couple of years.
It's simply for last time being in. So a lot of people.
Well, it was what 2018.
Well, no, so talking to him, because I asked and I was like, you know what, going back, because the last Super Bowl we went to before COVID was the Patriots, Patriots and the Rams.
Weren't the 49ers in they're more recently there. Than the well,
against
Eagles?
The Chiefs, yeah.
Yeah.
Or no, so yeah,
three
they
were
more
ago.
Recent than the Eagles.
And the Eagles were 5 years ago, I think.
Who was? 49ers?
The Eagles
was
won.
It a COVID year?
No, it was, the Chiefs, no,
Niners and Chiefs were the last Super Bowl before COVID.
Before COVID, that's right.
So it was the one.
It caused COVID. I remember that.
It was the one after the Eagles won, right?
Yes,
they
you're
won
right.
The year before
you're right.
That.
Yeah.
So technically, but 49ers have a very nationwide wealthy fan base.
They do.
So
and,
that's
an established brand.
But they also haven't won in 30 years, 35 years?
95, right?
What was it?
No.
Oh, Steve Young?
Steve Young.
Yeah, Steve Young, yeah.
95.
Shit. Yeah, you're looking at a long time. 27 years.
Thanks,
I think
Ross.
It may have been 96. Well, the game was in 96, but it was the 95 season. And it was against Denver, right? They beat them 55-.
Correct, yeah.
They beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, Steve Young was MVP, I believe. They crushed him.
Let's see.
So we'll see. Rams, though, they definitely don't want in because they have no fans. So they're always rooting against
and
the Rams.
It's would, dead I mean, serious. Obviously, the Rams can't win.
The Rams are, like, eliminated at this point.
But even when they were in against the Patriots that year, one, people had seen the Patriots 8 fucking times in the last 10 years. And two, the Rams had no fans. So
give us
Eagles,
cool. Chiefs, call it a day.
Eagles, Chiefs would be a
Chiefs,
great one.
Eagles,
that'd be a great one.
Eagles, Bills, Eagles, Bengals, any of those games would be really good.
Because exactly. Then even if we lost, I would be heartbroken. But then I... Little silver lining with Andy winning.
As long as it's a Rust Belt team or a Midwest team. And
yeah.
Not some coastal team.
Because my team is out of it every year. I just want to see a great game. So
I don't know. Desmond
really
Ritter is in there,
me.
Dude. He's going to.
God damn it.
You guys
dude.
Are on the way up.
No, no, we're not.
You guys
all
might
the way
make the playoffs still.
Well, we'll see. The 49ers, or I'm sorry, the
half game
the
back.
Bucks are, yeah, the Bucks are ahead by half a game. But the next three games for the Bucks are fucking impossible. Yeah. And I think Philly might be one of them. I
think the Falcons are going to make the playoffs.
We'll find
or
out.
Or Carolina.
I think Tom Brady might experience a phantom injury sometime in the next couple of weeks and sit the rest of the season.
That whole division needs to be blown up there. We appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah.
Thank you for the gifts, and we greatly appreciate it. Bet with us or against us on MyBookie.com. Promo code DRINKINBROS doubles your first deposits all the way up to $1,000. Please go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, just go to Spotify. It is a 5-star and a 5-star only. No review necessary. Looking forward to tonight's game because we're fucking junkies. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Papa Giorgio, and Hot Bob, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.